This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And here on this 24th day of January is WSMI's Tim Mines and Dave Jenkins. And if you like basketball, this is the place to be today, guys.
Absolutely, Tito. We got all sorts of basketball on the radio. What? Four high school games plus the Illini beginning at noon. So a fun day of basketball.
Yes. It was a pretty great week of basketball.
The tournament week on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. We had the Macoupin County Tournament on the Ox for the most part this past week. Coverage from the Litchfield Invitational here on WQSMI FM 106. The title game at Litchfield, it's a good one. Greenville and Taylorville. And then two good title games at the Macoupin County Tournament. The girls' game's a rematch of last year with Carlinville and Southwestern. The boys' game, the host Miners, will be taking on Southwestern as well. And in all three tournaments, guys, the top two seeds are playing for the title.
Yeah. Coaches did their job, didn't they?
I would say so.
Yeah. And in the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, it's an old Mid-State Conference lineup matchup with Greenville and Taylorville. Those two teams competed in the Mid-State Conference for many years before things got revamped. So that should be a dandy. And, of course, at Macoupin County, the Miners playing on their home floor for the boys' championship tonight against Southwestern.
Their game last night against Staunton. Of course, Gillespie-Staunton, that classic Macoupin County rivalry. Anyway, the pit was packed last night. I can only imagine how many people are going to be there tonight. Southwestern playing for both championships, so you know they're packing the place. The Carlinville girls travel very well, especially when they're playing for a championship. And you know what Gillespie's doing. At least half the town's coming. So I don't know. Whatever the capacity of the pit is, it will be tested tonight.
Well, just make sure you have your radio close by just in case.
Yes, we'll have live coverage of both. 6:30 here on FM 106.
You know, the pit, not only the design of the pit, but the acoustics of the pit makes it such a great venue to have a basketball tournament. So.
Mm-hmm. And when that gym's packed, boy, is it noisy.
Oh, it's deafening. It's deafening.
So. It's old enough, it might actually shake a little bit, a little sway.
I don't think so, not anymore.
Not with the renovation?
Not anymore.
And, of course, it's kind of weird how it's worked out for Gillespie this year. Of course, that tornado that busted up the pit a couple years ago. They were supposed to host the county last year. It wasn't ready, so Bunker Hill moved up a year. And now here the Gillespie Miners are, their boys team primed this year much more than they were a year ago, and now here they are on their home floor.
They probably wouldn't have been the championship last year.
Yeah.
So,
now they are. Funny how the basketball gods shake things out sometimes, isn't
it? Exactly right.
Isn't it great?
So on the radio today, Fighting Illini basketball live at noon here on FM 106, Big Ten play, Illinois at Minnesota. And Illinois has so many injuries, they've added a student manager to the roster. How awesome is that?
That's fantastic.
That is fabulous. I believe I can't remember the young man's name, eludes me at the moment, but I think he played at Bloomington Central.
He did, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Bloomington Central Catholic, yeah.
It'd be even better if he gets to play. Because I think they said they added
good
him
for who?
Just because.
Can't be good for the Illini if he gets on the floor, all due respect.
Yeah. But it'd be great for him if he gets to play.
Fabulous.
He'll get in the game somehow.
Because I think they said they had to add him in order to have enough players to practice. So
I read a quote from him. He said that I'm an Illini fan. He's like, my whole dorm room's decked out in Illini.
Well, he said he changed his Twitter profile to former student manager and current walk-on.
Well, I also heard him say that he, even though he will be dressed on the team, he still will be bringing the stools out for the timeout because, as he said, quoting, that's my specialty.
There you go. Hey, do what you do well.
That's exactly right. So the Illini live at noon today on FM 106. Then our high school basketball coverage will begin at 4 o'clock this afternoon from the Litchfield Invitational. We will have the Litchfield and Wood River matchup for you.
That's a 2:30 game.
2:30 game. Yeah. Broadcast time 4 o'clock here on FM 106. And then we will have live coverage from the Macoupin County Tournament at Gillespie. 6:30, the girls' title game, Carlinville and Southwestern. Then live at 8, the boys' championship game with Gillespie and Southwestern. And then after our championship coverage from the county in Macoupin, we will go back to the Litchfield Invitational and have the Nokomis Metro East Lutheran broadcast. That'll be about 9:30 tonight.
That is going to be a great matchup, too. Mm-hmm. Two teams that play very similar. Great matchup.
So all that action today on FM 106, all the high school games streaming at WQSMIRadio.com. I think, to the surprise of no one, Nokomis is surging post-Christmas again.
Imagine that.
I mean, they were right with Civic Memorial earlier this week.
Had a lead after three quarters.
Well, I think the experience from Civic Memorial paid off down the line. And they held Nokomis to just two free throws in that fourth quarter. So, but it was fun. Yeah. And to watch Jacob Lawrence, the MVP from last year's Litchfield tournament, battle in there against Marcus Chaussee of Nokomis. I mean, they were men among boys, as Hud likes to say, and it was just great to see two post players really go at it. They called a double foul early in the game just to kind of put them on notice, but they really let them play, and it was fun.
And I'm sure last night's game was the same situation, watching Eric Dust go up against Jacob Lawrence, a couple of 6'8 kids themselves, and Taylorville get the 2-point edge.
That was a great game last night.
Yeah.
So,
man,
had some good basketball this week around the area. That's terrific. And it's such a great time of year because this is one of those benchmark weeks. You know, the girls are basically 2 weeks away from regionals. In fact, a week from today, we'll have pairings, and more than likely anyway. And of course, the boys still have about 5-6 weeks to go. So it's one of those benchmark weeks. You say, okay, where are we? Where do we need to go? What do we have left in the tank? That sort of thing. So, important week of basketball.
Absolutely,
great in-season tournament week too.
And a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
It's not over yet. We still got the title game.
Oh, no. Yeah, the best is yet to come. Right. So.
The Macoupin County Tournament gets underway at noon today with the girls' fifth-place game, and they will have games all the way throughout the day leading up to the championship. And the Litchfield Invitational starts at 2:30.
2:30, The Litchfield game is the first game of the day at 2:30. So 2:30, 4, 5:30, and 7 o'clock for the championship. So Greenville and Taylorville for the title.
Heck of a game. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're going to continue to talk high school basketball. We're going to be talking to all the coaches involved in the championship games tonight on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. We'll take a break back on Sports Saturday following these messages.
And now back to WSMI Sports Saturday. Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins.
Thank you, Tito. Yesterday at the Litchfield Invitational in the ninth place game, Pena defeated Roxana 70-65. And in the 11th place game, Hillsborough defeated Lebanon 58-53. And in your championship bracket semifinals last night, it was Greenville over Mount Zion 58-45. And as we mentioned, Taylorville got past CM in a great game 59-57. Not really surprised Greenville won at all. 13 points, though. That's an impressive margin of victory for the Comets.
Yeah, I didn't see the game. It could have been a cold shooting night for Mount Zion because are you saying you're surprised that they only won by 13?
No, I'm surprised they won by 13.
Oh, yeah. Mount Zion seems to be, you know, they're really good when they're shooting the ball well, so it could have been a cold shooting night for the Braves because that's how they got past Litchfield by 35 was they weren't missing anything, essentially. So it just could have been a cold shooting night.
It'll be Greenville and Taylorville for the championship at the Litchfield Invitational. Gillespie and Southwestern will battle for the boys' championship in Macoupin County. And joining us right now is Casey Schultes, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. And Casey, thanks for joining us this morning. Were you able to sleep last night, or was the anticipation of today just a little too much?
definitely a lot of energy around here right now. So, got a couple hours in, but, back at it this morning and ready to get rolling.
What was the feel and the mood in your locker room last night after you guys clinched your appearance in the title game?
Spawn's always a big game for us, and, that's a rivalry for us. So the kids were excited going in, and to get the win, especially in the manner that we did last night, was a lot of fun for us.
You really had to like the way, really all this tournament, how your kids have responded after halftime. Those third and fourth quarters generally are going to decide the ball game.
They take a lot of pride in their conditioning and being a full four-quarter team and really exerting a lot of defensive pressure. And it feels to us a lot of times that catches up and starts to wear on people a little bit more in the second half. So that's a strength of ours, I think.
Okay, so you guys really are rolling right now in Gillespie, and the enthusiasm and the spirit is back. That place was hopping last night, and I can only imagine the intensity that's going to be in the gymnasium this evening.
Oh, it was a great environment last night. That was a fun ball game. Expecting the same kind of thing tonight. Our student section has been absolutely on fire for us here. And it's been nice. We've had a nice stretch of home games. We haven't traveled hardly at all for the last month and a half. So it's been nice to continue and get some continuity there in our place.
Casey, obviously the Price brothers get a lot of attention for their ability to score the basketball and make plays. But you have so many different kids that do so many different things for you that don't necessarily show up maybe in the scorebook or get a lot of pub in the paper or on the radio. But the ball pressure you get from Wargo and team and the things that Zinner and Aliper do that don't necessarily show up. And Eli Fox, he kind of just does it all for you. So just talk about You guys are a complete team, as I see it.
I couldn't agree with you more than that. And you just said a lot of those key things about all those kids and the way they contribute. You know, Wargo and Teeman, I thought, were just on fire on the defensive end last night, causing all kinds of trouble. Fox really kind of helped hold us together in offensively both the last two games with good offensive first halves, and he's just an incredible defensive player. Ran a little foul trouble last night, but that's very rare for him. Jacob Alipra is just a battler underneath there and scoring better now. Quentin Zenner played one of the best ball games of his career last night, especially in the second half. Was just a beast. Blake Hayes does a nice job when he's in. And again, if he wasn't playing behind those two seniors, he would start for us. Does a super job. Can really run the floor very well. I've got faith in Josh Trees too. When he gets in there, hadn't been a lot of minutes for him here the last couple nights, but I would expect to see more of him tonight. And he's just a super kid. Works really hard. And then both Bryce boys, of course, you know, they can score and do a nice job of setting a tone and taking on some leadership roles, especially Evan in that category.
One thing you have, Casey, at a smaller school is a little bit of depth, which a lot of times most schools do not experience, and you use it to your advantage.
Yeah, it's definitely a benefit to be able to go 8 and 9 deep on a regular basis. And those kids all are ready to go at a moment's notice and go in there and give you everything they've got. They support each other. They trust each other. And it's a nice feeling.
Casey, you talked about leadership. And I noticed last night when Eli Fox got in foul trouble, he had to sit on the bench for a majority of the game. But he was the biggest cheerleader on the bench. You know, it's always easy to lead and be in a good mood when you're on the floor and playing all the time. But I thought that was a great sign and kind of indicative of your team and how close-knit they are.
They are. They're friends on and off the court. They genuinely like each other, which makes team chemistry go a lot better. And then just to see the way that they support each other. Like you said, Fox was out of the game in some foul trouble, and you couldn't keep him seated on the bench because he was up and down cheering on his teammates so much. And the whole group's like that. They just really support each other and get behind one another and help each other out.
Well, Casey, your next two games are against the Southwestern Piasaw Birds. You get them on your floor tonight for the county, and then you travel to Piasaw on Tuesday. So first things first, talk a little bit about the challenges you're going to face from the Southwestern squad tonight in the Macoupin County Championship game.
Well, clearly they've got really good size with Rose and Baumgartner and Johnson, and those guys are going to be definitely a handful. And then good guard play with Lawson and Fry, and then they got a couple more shooters coming in off the bench. So they're definitely a complete team. We've seen them play a few times, and know it's going to be quite a challenge tonight. But we think our kids are going to be ready to meet that challenge and have a good contest tonight.
Going to be a lot of fun at the pit tonight. Our live championship coverage begins at 6:30 on FM 106. Casey, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck tonight, sir.
Thank you.
Casey Schultes, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. And that is such an interesting matchup, David. You've got the size of Southwestern, and Southwestern has good guards with Lawson and Fry. Mm-hmm. Will they be able to slow down the Price brothers tonight and keep them somewhat in check? That is going to be such an interesting matchup.
Well, then the problem's going to be, you know, if you're going to focus on one, the other's going to beat you. So you can't really double-team two players because then you've got three others who are going to probably kill you. So
last night, Steve Moore came out. He went boxing one. On Evan Price, and it worked pretty well, as Evan was held without a field goal in the first half, but then in the second half, Evan started to take over the game and make plays and really started to score the basketball. So it'll be interesting to see what the strategies will be going into the championship game tonight at Macoupin County.
Yeah, Southwestern, very good basketball team, but they've definitely got their hands full with the Miners. And the Miners, we've mentioned it, what they've been playing for all tournament, so...
Yeah, they wanted to get to the title game on their home floor, and they've accomplished it.
And they were pretty sure that they were going to face Southwestern. I mean, nobody wants to, no player wants to, you know, count their chickens before they hatch, but this is the matchup they wanted.
One of the oddities, of course, when you're the top seed in the Macoupin County tournament is Southwestern made an appearance on Saturday a week ago, and then they were off all the way until last night. When they played Carlinville. And joining us on the phone right now is head coach Jason Darr of the Southwestern Piasaw Birds. Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. How are you?
Hey, we're doing pretty good here. We're just having a little walkthrough here this morning in the gym. How are you guys?
We're very good. Very excited about the ball games we're going to have tonight at the Macoupin County Tournament. And Jason, we were just mentioning the odd thing about the long layoff you have as the tournament's top seed. You basically had a week off.
Yeah, and, you know, it hasn't. This has kind of been a slow point in our season as well, where we've kind of cut back games. We were kind of hoping to have more games during the week this week, but it didn't really work out that way. But, you know, we got a chance to work on a lot of things in practice and kind of fine-tune some stuff. And, you know, we kind of played somewhat of a practice game on Wednesday here in our own gym. So, you know, it's really been good for us. We came out last night and kind of put the pedal down there in the second half, and I think we're back to going again.
That'd be a heck of a practice game with the squad you got.
It is. I'm telling you. you know, one thing about our team.
Charge admission to that.
In practice.
It was probably rather brutal, wasn't it?
I'm telling you right now, it was a battle. That's for sure. No doubt.
And I guess, Jason, from a coach's perspective, you said you would have liked to have had a few more games, but it has to be nice at this point of the season to be able to get some extended practice time in.
Yeah, you know, extended practice time and also being able to rest our guys a little bit, you know. Halfway through, everybody knows the basketball season's a long kind of grind, and, you know, we were able to get us a little bit of rest, and, you know, I really thought last night we looked a little more energetic, and we had some guys. I think we've got some guys kind of more at that early season form where you still got, you know, fresh legs and things like that, so we're hoping that rest will help us in those ways as well.
Jason, your schedule, the middle part of your schedule was extremely brutal. What did you learn about your club through the last couple of weeks here?
I think the physical part of basketball, you know, it seems like when you drive south of here and play in gyms and, you know, you go to your modern days and we went down to, you know, Freeburg and played Columbia and even Greenville. There's a lot more physical part of the game down there, and I think our kids had to step it up in that sense. And you know, I'll tell you what, man, I think it's helped us, and I think we're going to continue to see that more. Just the intensity of play and the you know, really the talent that we played against. Our kids had to really elevate their game, and you know, we had to kind of get out of our comfort zone a little bit and play at another level. And I think we're going to see the rewards to that hopefully here in the near future.
Yeah, when you can play those postseason type of opponents in the regular season, it usually does pay dividends down the road. And you're going to have a heck of an atmosphere working against you tonight. Southwestern, of course, will have a lot of people there. You always do. But you're going to be on Gillespie's home floor. So you're going to be walking into enemy territory.
Yeah, Gillespie's a good basketball team. I mean, they've got some kids that can score. They've got some talented kids that can handle the ball. You know, they did a nice job last night late in the game with their pressure against Staunton. And, you know, they're going to be ready to go. That's what we've continuously talked to our kids about, playing on their home floor. You know, it's going to be tough. I felt like last night we came out and shot the ball much better. So that's kind of given us a boost of confidence here going in. You know, and that's one other thing about, you know, we've played in two championship games so far and playing two really good teams in Jabot and Columbia. So, you know, I feel like we've got the experience. And we got some seniors on the court, some senior leaders, and we got some young kids that are going to help us as well. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting. I just hope the fire marshal doesn't roll into town there as far as things going on, because somebody may be in trouble.
I think somebody will probably have him occupied maybe at one of the local pubs, keeping him preoccupied.
Yeah, let's hope that can happen. Maybe somebody can make that happen.
Oh, it's going to be a packed house tonight at the Pit. Jason Dard, the head coach of the Southwestern Pious Allbirds, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. We'll let you get back to your walkthrough. Best of luck tonight, sir.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll see you tonight.
All right, Jason Dard, the head coach of the Southwestern Pious Allbirds, and man, what a fun game that is going to be. You talk about the size of Southwestern, the guard play of Gillespie, but you look at Southwestern's guards with Andrew Fry and Blake Lawson. These young men, they're seniors. They've played, I believe they've both started basically since they were freshmen.
Freshmen, yeah.
So, I mean, they've got a lot of experience. They're not going to get frightened of the stage here tonight at the final.
No. Remember, I mean, this is, what, the first time these two face each other this season. They'll play each other again
Tuesday,
and then they may face each other again in the regional. So, I mean, they could be plenty familiar with them.
And when you look over the, you know, the history of the Macoupin County Tournament, whether it be the girls or the boys, there's been a lot of classic Southwestern Gillespie matchups over the years. Of course, you look down the championship list on the girls' side, it's basically Southwestern and Gillespie all the way. For the Southwestern boys, they have a very good tradition. They have not won the county since 2007. So this group of seniors, you know, this is their last go at it, last chance to get the title.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to ask Coach Darr what his plan was for the to try to contain the Price brothers, but I didn't want him to give up any secrets.
Can't give up state secrets.
Yeah, so that would have been no fun.
Keep them in front.
Yeah.
Joining us on the phone right now is a man who will be wearing the stripes and blowing the whistle tonight at the Macoupin County Championship game for Southwestern and Gillespie. Carl Ray Fesser joining us on the phone right now. Carl Ray, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you guys? Sounds like we're getting a little wound up already.
Well, you know, I get a little excitable from time to time, Carl Ray.
I hear you. Especially when we went to the hospitality room.
Oh, goodness gracious. FEMA's is showing up there today, just in case you were wondering.
No, yes. I already know. I got inside track. Miss takes pretty good care of
me. Carl Ray, you will be on the floor tonight for the championship game between Southwestern and Gillespie. You were there last night and saw the Miners take on the Bulldogs, and I know you like what you see from the Price brothers.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, boys, they've been around basketball a time or two. They kind of shoot from the hip just a little bit. I enjoy watching the kids play. They're good kids, and they're a lot of fun to watch. But I think Paso is going to have something to say about that. I watched him a little bit. I'd heard about him a lot, and I got to see him for about a quarter last night. And them boys can play, too. So it'll be fun tonight.
Carl Ray, you've officiated big ball games before, championship ball games before, obviously. Do you officiate a championship game any differently at all at any point in the game than you do a regular game?
You try not to, Tim. I mean, it's just you want to let the kids decide who wins the ball game, or that's the feeling of our crew. But we just kind of let them go at it, and at times you just blow the whistle because you know that's a foul. It's a foul game in, game out. And you just go and let them have some fun, and hopefully the best team wins.
What I'm always curious about from an officiating perspective is sometimes a game will be allowed to be a little more physical. Sometimes it'll be called nip and tuck. How does that work?
Well, I tell you what, the bigger kids you get on the floor, the more they can handle the physicalness of the game. And when you just get bigger kids on the floor, it will tend to have a tendency to get more physical. It's just how the kids can handle the physicalness of the play. You know, we let a bump go if we see them not driving them off the ball. The IHSA is trying to change that a little bit, thinking we are letting them play just a little too much. And at times, I'll agree, we do let them play too much. But if we see them handle it and they don't lose the ball or something don't happen, we'll just maybe, and every once in a while we might have say to the kids, hey, come on, let's play, we're not blowing the whistle, let's go, you're all right, and that's the way we kind of seem to handle it.
Well, Carl,
there's numerous discussions on that too at times, trust me on that.
I always like it when your crew has a ball game, or if the Todd Brook crew is doing a ball game, because you guys, you're not out there trying to be the show, you can let kids have their say in a respectful way.
Yeah, we do. I mean, if we don't talk to them, they don't know what we're thinking. Hopefully, they'll talk to us then, so we kind of know what they're thinking, as long as it's in a respectful manner. We get into that complication at times, but most of the time, if you do it respectful to the kids, 95% of the time, the kids are going to be respectful to you, and I hope other officials are doing the same thing we're doing. That's, you know, if the other officials ain't doing it like we do it, you know, the kids kind of go, well, what's going on? Because two or three nights ago, another crew came in and they didn't talk to them at all. And then the kids just don't know how to respond on that.
Carl Ray Fesser joining us here on Sports Saturday, an IHSA official. And Carl Ray, every time we talk to you, we like to talk about officiating as a whole. And The problem is still the same. The IHSA needs young officials.
Yeah, that is true. And, I mean, we just have – I stopped and talked to Rick and Dan last night at AD. I can't remember if from Bethaldo Civil Moral. And one of my questions was to him is, are you sending younger officials around? And he says, yeah, I've got a few, but I sure need some more because I've heard through the grapevine we're going to lose Johnny Fall and Burke Snyder and Snodgrass. And, you know, and that's just a few in a small area. And I tell you what, Tim, you know as well as I do, we're all getting older. We, you know, we'll wake up and go, oh, my knee hurts or something like that, need a night off. And we do need younger guys, and I don't know how to help things out. I wish I did. I mean, I do talk to some younger kids, but they just don't want to take the initiative to do it. But maybe in time we'll get some. I hope so. The game's going to be in trouble, in my opinion.
What does it take to become certified to be a IHSA official?
All you got to do is take a test, and it's online. I mean, if younger guys would want to be interested, I'd help them. I'd sit and do the work with them on the test. I mean, it's an open book test, but go try and take the open book test if you don't have somebody sitting there helping you. It ain't quite as easy as it sounds. And then you also have to do a clinic that you go to, and we all get together and we teach guys how to work the three-man crew properly and talk about things. And then you also, there's three levels. There's registered, recognized, and certified. And then you have to do a closed book test. And that's when it gets a little harder because you got to get, if I remember, you got to get an 80 or an 85 to go to the next level. And it's tough because you're working out a two rule book. So it's something, but if we just get guys started, that's the main thing.
And Carl Ray, what people forget is that this is just a hobby. This is the part-time thing. You actually do have another full-time job. So, you know, you're trying to put everything together, so it's maybe not as easy as people think.
Exactly right. Well, that's right now I'm standing out in the timber getting ready to cut wood. So, you know, it's just one of them things. It is a hobby, but I sure do enjoy it. You get to meet the young people, and you don't know, Terry, how many people come up to me and they say, Carl, how are you? And I kind of look at them. I don't mean this bad. I said, how do you know me? And they said, well, we've seen you officiate. Yeah. And that does make a guy feel good.
Sure.
When people come up to you and everything. And Terry, on a note, what game are you doing tonight, man?
Well, let's see. I'm going to be at Litchfield for a couple games. Tim's going to be along with Gary Boker at the Macoupin County Tournament, and who knows, I may pop in at the Macoupin County Tournament afterwards.
I've got the boys game tonight, Carl, so I'll try to throw you firmly under the bus if I have the opportunity.
That's fun. Not a problem, but hey, Tim, you've got to do as good as Terry. I think I talked to my mother when he was calling the Nokomis Raymond game, and she said he just come through the radio. So let's put some work on that, Tim.
Oh, boy. I try. That's hard to do, though. I'm going to try.
I hear you there.
So, Carl Ray, thanks for a few minutes of your time. Don't chop anything off out in the woods today. We want you on the floor tonight.
We'll be there. Don't worry.
All right. Carl Ray Fesser, good enough to join us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And all kidding aside, when Carl Ray's on the floor, you know the game's going to be under control.
Oh, yeah. You know, we have our crews that we see frequently, and they always do it, and they do a nice job, and Carl Ray's part of that. And you know, the thing of it is, they truly enjoy the game, and this is their way of giving back to the game. And without people like that, you can't play without a game official. So,
that's right.
You know, be careful what you say to them, because one day they're going to quit, mm-hmm. and then we're going to be stuck without any game officials.
That's a problem.
That's a big, big problem. So, and if you want to be become an official, get in with a group of people who are experienced and can kind of bring you along and mentor you, and you know, that's the best way to do it. Just have fun, you know, do it for fun.
He mentioned the Nokomis Lincolnville game. What a finish that was. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. Mm. We've had a few of those over the years.
Dave Kane mentioned that in one of his blurbs in the journal. Did you see that, T?
Yeah, the 11-second whatever it was. Yeah.
At the woodshed.
And Dave, I emailed Dave and said, hey, thanks for the shout-out. He says, hey, actually, I heard just the last 25 seconds of it.
That's all you needed to hear.
He was coming out of a ball game, and he said he tuned in for the last 25 seconds of the game, and then the last 11 seconds, it was crazy. But you know, and the thing of it is, we just go off of gut reaction. Yeah. We don't sit there and plan this stuff. We just try to call what we see, and sometimes it works. There are days that I really suck. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, there are days that you have bad days as announcers too, or at least you think you do. But it happened to work out. So it's always better to be lucky than good. So
absolutely,
yeah.
But was it? We'll take lucky and good.
We'll take lucky and good. Absolutely.
We need a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk high school basketball on Championship Saturday following these messages.
Well, the Fighting Illini hit the airwaves at high noon. The Illini at Minnesota on WSMI FM 106. Now back to Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins.
Thank you, Tito. And then our high school basketball coverage will pick up following the Illini at 4 o'clock today. We will have the broadcast from the Litchfield Invitational between the Purple Panthers and Wood River. That game is at 2:30. We'll have the broadcast at 4 o'clock here on FM 106. And then live coverage tonight from the Macoupin County Championship begins at 6:30 with the girls' title game between Southwestern and Carlinville. At 8 o'clock, Gillespie and Southwestern for the boys' championship. And then we will go back to the Litchfield Invitational for the broadcast of Nokomis and Metro East. That broadcast at 9:30 tonight. The game will be played at 4 o'clock this afternoon. All the action today on WSMI FM 106. And it all streams online at WSMIRadio.com. We're working on connections with Mr. Darren Zanid, the head coach of Carlinville. He'll be joining us in a moment here on Sports Saturday. David, I got to tell a tale of myself here.
Yeah?
Last week at the pit in Gillespie, after the day is over, Gary's like looking at the renovations, and he says, you know, the coach's office used to be down here. Let's go check it out. Walk in there, you know. Certainly not the coach's office. It's a locker room now, you know. So yeah. We walked in, door closed behind us, no big deal. I go to get out. I hit the handle. It's locked from the inside. And, you know, as a broadcaster, we're generally some of the last people out of the gymnasium.
Yeah.
And it's Saturday night with Martin Luther King Day on Monday. So I'm thinking, oh, Lordy, it's like a bad movie. We're going to be stuck in this locker room all weekend long, Gary Boker and myself. We're pounding on the door, just screaming at the top of my lung for someone, just anybody, to let us out. That's not working. I had one phone number for a person at Gillespie, Casey Schultes, in my phone. So I called Casey, voicemail. Left them a voicemail explaining, we're trapped and locked in the bathroom. Please, if you're still here, come let us out. Gary made a phone call to Steve Woolley to call Mike Bertagnoli to let us out. None of that worked, so still pounded on the door. Eventually, thankfully, the superintendent, Joe Thiemann, arrives and opens the door and lets us out. He said, I thought I heard Tim's voice bellowing from the locker room here.
Can we let you guys broadcast?
Oh, my goodness. So thankfully, disaster was averted. Oh, I love the pit, but I did not want to stay there all weekend.
I think we've got a TV show for Dateline.
Oh my
set up
goodness!
Here. I really
like,
do.
Get me locked in the locker room all weekend long. All right, joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Lady Cavaliers, Darren DeNevis. They will be defending their county championship tonight, a rematch of last year's game against Southwestern. Darren, good morning. Thank you for a few minutes of your time. How are you?
I'm fine. I just heard your story a little bit. I think I felt bad for Gary there throughout the whole time. I was going to be stuck with you.
It would have been rough. It would have been rough.
I imagine.
Darren, it's always hard to get back and have an opportunity to defend a championship, especially in high school athletics where teams vary from year to year. So talk about the accomplishment that your girls have achieved getting back to the title game this year.
Well, you know, we've got a bunch of our girls back, which is always nice. But you know, the Mount Olive girls obviously gave us quite a test on Thursday night, and they're very much an up and coming team, as you know. And so, we knew we would have our hands full when the pairings came out, when the seeds came out on that Thursday night game, and certainly. That proved to be true, and so we were very fortunate to win on Thursday and got those other two victories, and so we're pretty excited about the chance to defend our title.
And the way that it happened to work out in pool play, it's never a guarantee, but you and Mount Olive were both undefeated in pool play, so that was an actual championship semifinal, and to get a competitive game like that in the semifinal round, that is a good thing heading into a championship game.
It is. We had actually had three games in a row where maybe the score was a bit lopsided. And So it was good for our girls to get themselves, you know, into a pressure situation in the fourth quarter and have an opportunity to get some key stops and make some key plays. And so, you know, as you say, it's nerve-wracking at the time, but, you know, it really is good for your team to have to go through those kinds of situations.
Talisha Scott's played a lot of basketball for you over the years, now in her senior year. I haven't seen every game she's played by any stretch, but I've seen a good number of them. I don't know, the second half she played the other night against Mount Olive might be the best I've ever seen her play.
Certainly in the fourth quarter. Well, you're right, in the third quarter she had a good moments too. I was really proud of her. Talisha has grown up so much over the years. What I was most proud of is the fact that she played through being tired. You know, we didn't take her out. And when she was a bit younger, she didn't always play through being tired as well as she did on Thursday. And she was exhausted, and she still put us on her back and carried us in the fourth quarter. And so I was extremely proud that she had done that. It showed a lot of maturity, that she had grown up, and that she wanted us to get back into this game on Saturday night.
You know, Darren, that's something that really a lot of people don't necessarily think about, the ability to play tired. Is that a skill?
I don't know if it's a skill so much as it's a mental toughness kind of issue. And, you know, it's you don't really get a chance to practice it always, you know. And so it's just a matter of when you get in those situations, just being determined, and she was definitely determined on Thursday.
That's a good point. Practice tired and game tired are two different things.
They are. It's just hard to simulate. It's hard to simulate the kind of you know, pressure and situation in practice. Every coach tries to do it, but the truth of the matter is, you learn the most from those deals in games.
And Darren, earlier you mentioned about being in a tight ball game with Mount Olive heading into this championship. You can simulate all the tight games you can that you want to in practice, but there's really nothing like it, because after practice is over, you're going home. But in a tight game, you have to really have a few of those to get the experience you need.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, over the last few years, our girls have definitely been in some of those types of games, whether it's basketball or volleyball. And so we've got some battle-tested girls, and, you know, they don't back down from competitive situations. And so when we get in those situations, we'll roll the dice and see how it goes.
Of course, Darren, one of the good things about the game being played at the Pit tonight is you don't have to worry about Megan Staten crashing into the fourth row of the bleachers like she did in last year's championship game and messing her leg up.
Yeah, she won't hit the bleachers. I suppose it's possible she'll hit a sidewall. But, you know, that was quite a scene. We watched that not too long ago when we were just reviewing some film, and we got a big kick out of that. She, you know, she jumps up and tells the whole crowd she's okay. So she's got a magnetic personality. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, it was a week ago, or maybe I don't remember, but it wasn't too long ago she was ill and she wasn't able to come to practice, and boy, was the gym quiet, and it was noticeable. And she is definitely a verbal presence in our gym and a leader, and such a great kid.
And you can tell, too, that on the floor, she's always talking, always communicating with her teammates.
Oh, yeah, not only with her teammates, but the other teammates and the referees. everybody else. But, you know, when you watch a film, you don't get to hear a whole lot, but it's funny. You can hear what she's saying on the court, you know, even though the camera is clear in the top balcony. So,
Darren, your opponent tonight, obviously a familiar one in Southwestern. They'll have a little different look tonight without Kelsey Rhodes, but they've still got Maddie Greeling. They've still got Ashton Ringhausen, Hyant, and Lopsher.
Well, absolutely. Their guard play is just phenomenal. And, you know, it presents us with a tremendous challenge, really, on both ends. It's hard to guard them. I think they've made about 123s this year. They, you know, it seemed like they made, I'm not that good with numbers, but it seems like they made somewhere about 18 in the first half against Bunker Hill the other night.
Nine, and, officially.
So, anyway, now they're hard to guard because of their shooting ability and then the ball handling ability, and then they're hard to attack. Given their quick hands on defense and ability to rotate and trap at appropriate times, and it's a tremendous challenge every time you play them, that's for sure.
Darren, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. Best of luck tonight, sir.
All right, we appreciate it. We're going to give it our best.
Darren Deneed, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. They will defend their Macoupin County Championship tonight against Southwestern live at 6:30 right here on FM 106, and it'll stream online at WSMIRadio.com. What an intriguing matchup that is as well.
Well, yeah, yeah. And just the fact the rivalry Carlinville-Southwestern has had over the last few years, and the fact that Carlinville, you know, will be at full strength tonight, and Southwestern without the services of Kelsey Rhodes. So that makes an intriguing task for Steve Woolley. You know, how does he plug in and replace? So, but Southwestern always seems to have somebody there that can do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's one of the things.
Of course, it's a big loss for Southwestern. Sure. Talking to Kelsey the other night at the tournament, she's got a couple of weeks of physical therapy coming up. She's hoping to be back by regional time, but that's quickly approaching, about 3 weeks out. So potentially a very big loss for Southwestern heading into the postseason if they are without the services of Kelsey Rhodes.
Especially since things have worked out to where Southwestern could be in line for a deep postseason run.
Well, you think about how their season ended last year, getting jobbed like they did. And now this year, to have an injury to one of your key players this close to the postseason, that just unfortunate in a major, major way for the Southwestern Lady Piasaw Birds. But one thing we know, they will show up,
sure,
and they will be ready to go.
Sure, yeah. It'll be even without Kelsey, it'll be a tough matchup, and they'll give it their all.
We're going to have two great championship games tonight at Gillespie High School. The girls' title game at 6:30, the boys at 8, all live here on WSMI FM 106 with broadcast from the Litchfield Invitational in between. We will have Illini basketball at noon today. They are on the road at Minnesota. We do need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages. Once again, the Lady Piasaw Birds will play for the Macoupin County Championship tonight against Carlinville, and their head coach, Steve Woolley, good enough to give us a few minutes on the phone this morning. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing very well. Very excited about tonight's action at Macoupin County. Two great title games lined up, and you guys will be in a rematch of last year's game against Carlinville. We'll get to that in a moment, but Steve, let's start off with what happened a week ago today, the injury to Kelsey Rhodes. Just kind of update us, if you can, on what you know now.
Yeah, just super bad break for us. Kelsey dislocated her kneecap, and you know, she's been to the physician. You know, they do a couple worth of rehab and then have her go back and recheck it and see what kind of progress she was able to make. But then yesterday, I actually got a call, and I guess they reevaluated her MRI, so she's supposed to go back within a week now. So we're still kind of a lot of question marks out there about where she's at and any kind of future play or anything like that. It's kind of up in the air right now.
Steve, when you get a major injury to a major cog of your team, how do you approach that at this point in the season with balancing the hope to get her back with the reality that she might not be coming back?
Well, I think you always have to, you know, prepare as if she's not coming, and then if she does, it's just icing on the cake for us. But we've had other players. Peyton Hines been coming in off the bench for us all year long and doing a real good job, and Malia Bailey is also another person that can play in the post for us, and then we've been getting a little bit of sub time out of Mallory Novak, a sophomore, kind of a physical kid. So, you know, I mean, we're just kind of in practice, you know, we're starting to insert some of those kids in, give them some reps and stuff, and, you know, I can say you have to almost prepare as if she's not coming back, and then, you know, hopefully these kids will get some good quality time over the next couple weeks and be ready to give us some good minutes.
You had to like the way that your kids were able to bounce back after that injury, because that was an uncomfortable scene for everyone in the gymnasium. And I thought the way that your kids responded after that, seeing a friend and a teammate in that type of pain, that was an impressive response.
Yeah, I was real happy. Sometimes, you know, it takes a little while to regroup and refocus, but I thought we did a real good job. And they were trying to play for Kelsey. They knew she was under some dire circumstances there, so. So I thought, yeah, like you said, the kids did respond real well, and we were able to play a pretty good ball game.
And if you're going to lose a post player that provides points, I guess you're going to have to shoot the lights out on certain nights, and you did that in your next game out, 9 threes in the first half. And when you guys shoot the basketball like that, you're going to be tough to beat no matter who you're playing or who else you have on the floor.
Yeah, it was nice to see us come out and shoot like that, and we've kind of you know, here at season, we start off really strong in the season, got some really good quality wins in the first half of the year, and then right after the Christmas tournament, I thought we sort of had a little bit of a lull, maybe weren't playing quite up to our expectations. Still winning, but you know what I mean, kind of not real satisfied with a couple of wins. And then, you know, and then here recently we've been shooting the ball like we were earlier in the year, and the kids are playing with kind of renewed energy, I think, you know, and that's good to see because I think when we play with a lot of energy, we are pretty tough to beat.
And Steve, your two losses on the year are what you would qualify as good losses because those are two teams that are very up, very high in the state rankings in 1A.
Yeah, I don't really like that term, good losses. But anyway, you know, they were losses that I should benefit us in the future, I hope, you know. And, you know, Calhoun's got a heck of a ball club. I mean, they're playing really well right now. I know they may have lost their point guard from what I understand, but you know, they're just so big and so hard to match up with. And the night we played them, they got some big threes. I mean, they get 9 threes against us that night. When they get that kind of play, they're really tough. So that was, like you say, it was a quality loss. And then Central A&M, my understanding, they're still undefeated at this point right now in 1A as well. So, yeah, I mean, two good teams, and we learned a lot from those games. And hopefully we can take some of that knowledge and help us down the road here.
You got a familiar opponent tonight in the Carlinville Cavaliers, and I wouldn't imagine there's not too many surprises when you guys square off. You have been in a number of games against this group of seniors Carlinville has.
Oh, yeah. You know, we know each other pretty well, I believe. And, you know, Darren does a great job over there with the kids. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to a good competitive game. I mean, we kind of you almost have to throw out the game that we played a week or so ago just because of the loss of Kelsey and just kind of, you know, because, I mean, we don't really match the same as we would have, you know, with her. So, I mean, we're going in, you know, as if we haven't really played yet, and we'll see how things go tonight.
All right, Steve Woolley, thank you for a few minutes of your time, and best of luck tonight, sir.
Thank you very much. We'll see you guys then.
All right, Steve Woolley, the head coach of the Southwestern Pius Allbirds, joining us here on Sports Saturday on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. We do need to get to a break. Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Well, unfortunately, a sad note from the world of baseball. Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks, passed away last night at the age of 83, and the world of baseball is mourning his loss. What a terrific person. He was a great ball player, but what a terrific person Ernie Banks.
Well, and I saw an interesting note on Twitter. Every single picture, every single one of Ernie Banks smiling.
Yeah.
Not a single one where he's not smiling.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so now the Cardinals have lost their icon, the Cubs have lost their icon, and you know, it's getting to that point where these great historic baseball figures from the past, this is what's going to happen. I mean, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron. I mean, it's just that's how it's going to happen. And it's just unfortunate that that's how it has to be. And for Ernie Banks, you know what's going to happen now. The Cubs are going to win the World Series relatively soon here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate he couldn't be around to see it.
Right. But what a man he was. And I don't think he ever played in the playoffs, right?
No, I don't think so. Because, you know, I don't think so. Because I guess his two big years were like 58 and 59, I think. And two of his big years, I should say. And I don't think they were in the playoffs around that time. Last time they were in the World Series was 45. So I don't think he was ever in the playoffs.
Of course, the Cardinals opened the season at Wrigley Field this year, and that'll be a
of course,
heck
I guess
of a time.
They didn't have playoffs back then. It was just
Straight to the World Series. That's exactly right. Yeah. Coming up tonight, championship night, of course, and at the Litchfield Invitational, the Greenville Comets, they will take on Taylorville for the title. And joining us right now on the phone is the Comets head coach, Todd Cantrell. Todd, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you guys have gone through the gauntlet that is the Litchfield Invitational. You found yourself in the championship game, and even though you guys come in hot in the top seed, I'm sure from your guys' perspective, there was no guarantee you were going to be in the title game tonight.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's a tough tournament, and it's a tournament where you get a lot of good competition, and you play some different styles of basketball, and we're very excited, very humbled to be where we're at, and you know, just ready to go out and play for the title. You know, we told the kids beforehand it's a lot better to be the one seed after the tournament than before the tournament. So before the tournament just gets you some games in the big gym, I guess, but then you're so certainly want to be after, you know, after tonight, we'd like to be the one seed.
Todd, of course, you guys made a sectional final a year ago. You've been to a number of sectionals over the last few years. The record hasn't always necessarily been as good as is this year, but I wonder, is the fact that the football playoffs ended a lot sooner this year than normal, has that had some sort of effect on the overall record to this point?
Well, I think it probably did. It's not something that we're very happy about.
Right.
You know, as being the offensive coordinator for the football team, it's something that was a real kind of a hard pill to swallow, that's for sure, with the success and the run that we've made in football lately has been great, and we wouldn't trade that for anything. But if you look at it on the basketball side, I'm sure it did help. It was you know, an extra couple weeks to rest some bodies and heal up a little bit, kind of switch gears and get our minds focused on basketball. And it was the first time in I think we decided it was 7 years. It was the first time in 7 years that we had the full allotment of practice time before we started the season. And you could definitely tell a difference.
So you're taking your frustrations out on the basketball court, in other words.
Well, a little bit. I tell you what, it was a tough weekend, that's for sure. When we, you know, we're very humble about our success. We hope and we just want to keep playing and keep winning. And it was tough pill to swallow to lose in that first round, but you know, in the end, if you look at it from a basketball sense, like I said, I think it probably did help us.
And so many of the same kids, this group of seniors that's had so much success in the football field, obviously has success on the basketball floor as well. Just talk a little bit about this group of seniors and just kind of the overall success they've had as a group throughout the different sports.
Yeah, they've been a great group. I mean, they're a group that's going to leave a legacy around here of hard work and teamwork and selflessness and all the things that we kind of strive for as coaches. This group has been the group that we're going to be able to point to and say that this is the standard and this is the example that these kids need to follow for years to come. And like you said, it's been in multiple sports. That's one thing that we really try to preach around here is that with our size of school, we need to play multiple sports. We don't like that whole one sport or whatever of specializing in one sport. We like to get our kids involved, and we've got great programs here, from our soccer program, from football program, baseball program. Our girls programs are outstanding with volleyball and soccer and basketball. So we just try to keep it going, and we try to encourage our kids to get out and compete in every sport and learn how to compete, learn how to be a good teammate, and get better at everything when it's that season.
Well, as far as competing goes, you guys went down to Nashville a few days ago, and you definitely competed with the Hornets down there in the Hornets' Nest. Lost by 5 points is what it was. But, Todd, talk about that game and what maybe you guys learned as a unit coming out of that contest to the top-ranked team at the time.
Well, we played well, that's for sure. I think we had it tied with 4 minutes to go, and we actually had a look at a three down two with about 2 minutes to go that would have put us up, a clean look at a three, and that would at least put us up and, you know, with 2 minutes to go, and then you could have kind of played it out and seen what would happen at that point. But I think what we can take from that is that we can, you know, on a given night, we think we can play with just about anybody. And certainly it was a tough atmosphere to go into that gym and do those things. But I was sure proud of our kids, and I think we learned that every possession in a game like that, there's just such a small margin of error when you're playing, you know, one of the top-ranked teams in the state. So I think that we learned that every possession counts and every possession matters, especially in a game like that. So hopefully we can take what we learned there and apply it to the rest of the season and hopefully a good postseason run.
Coach, you've got a pretty tough test this evening in the Taylorville Tornadoes. Just talk about some of the things you have to do in order to come on top and be Litchfield Tournament champions.
Well, I think we better get lucky as well. I mean, they're awful good. They really are. They pose so many problems with their size and with their length and their ability to shoot a three. I think they're open as soon as they come off the bus, and they've got kids that, they play 9, 10 kids, and they all shoot it, and they can all shoot it in. So they've got some kids that are very skilled, and they can pose some problems with that zone press and zone trap that they're doing at half court, and then all the way back into the, kind of falling back into the lane area. But they definitely can pose some problems. I think the number one thing is going to have to be transition for us, transition defense. We've got to make sure that we get back. And you can't allow them to go on a 6-0 and 8-0 run and things like that. So we're going to have our hands full, but I think our guys are up for the challenge. I think they're going to go look at it as a good challenge for us, play a bigger school, and, and play a school that's pretty good and see what we can do. I know our kids aren't going to back down. We're going to go play hard and see if we can hang around and in the fourth quarter, see what we can get done.
Now, did you guys stick around for the second game last night and see just do a little bit of scouting for Taylorville?
Yeah, our kids stayed till halftime, and we sent them back on the bus, and I actually stayed for the full game and was able to see the full game. And CM, you know, did a good job, and they really handled, I thought they handled the press well and did a pretty good job and actually had a shot at the end for the win. So, you pick up some things, and you learn some things when you watch a team, but at the same time, you know, you got to be us. And that's what kind of what has been our slogan for most of the year is just go be us. And if we take care of the ball and if we get back defensively, we feel like we've got a pretty good shot.
Sounds good. Todd, best of luck tonight, sir, in the championship game at Litchfield, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Okay, great having me. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Todd Cantrell, the head coach of the Greenville Comets, and we've talked about it before on Sports Saturday, but that's what I love about Greenville. You heard Coach Cantrell mention he's the offensive coordinator for the football team. And then, of course, Hutch is the baseball coach along with the head football mm-hmm. coach. The continuity. Yeah. It's the same kids playing the same sports. They know these coaches. So they don't have that transition period of getting readapted to a coach or what it may be because they've been around Cantrell throughout the summer, throughout the fall for the football.
And these coaches have been there for a while.
A long time.
I mean, that's exactly right. You know, the continuity not only extends from sport to sport to sport, but extends from year to year to year. And when you have a continuity situation there, people know what to expect. You know, the kids coming in know what to expect.
And, you know, we don't root for teams or root for kids necessarily, but I would like to see this group of seniors at Greenville get to state.
Yeah.
After they were so close in football so many years, to lose in the first round like they did this year, it would just be cool for that group of kids to get to state. And if they do, who would have thunk it would have been in basketball and not football?
Yeah.
Long way to go, though. A lot of basketball.
A lot of between basketball
here and there. But just from a personal note, that would be a neat thing to see.
Sure. Yeah. And they've entertained a lot of people for the last several years. So, yeah.
And if you're not planning on going to the county tonight, get out to Litchfield. Because that's going to be a heck of a ball. All the games tonight are going to be fantastic ball games.
There's so great high school basketball around the area.
Yeah, just get out and watch a game.
That's exactly right. Our broadcast actually will get underway with the Illini today at noon. They will be at Minnesota live here on FM 106. We will then be at the Litchfield Invitational Tournament for Litchfield and Wood River. It's a 2:30 game. We'll have the broadcast at 4 o'clock here on FM 106. We will then have live coverage from the Macoupin County Tournament, the girls' championship game at 6:30. The boys' title game will follow at 8. And then after our county coverage, we will go back to the Litchfield Invitational for the broadcast of Nokomis and Metro East. The game will be played at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We'll have the broadcast at 9:30 tonight here on your 50,000-watt sports voice, WSMI FM 106.
This could be a bank of four great games back to back to back to back
that you just
won't get very often.
It'll be a heck of a day.
Should be a heck of a day of basketball and night of basketball.
No doubt about it. So if you like high school basketball, you got a game somewhere within a short drive that you can go be entertained by today.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a heck of a day. Yeah. We want to thank all the coaches who joined us here this morning on WSMI Sports Saturday. And we are done. For David and T-Tote, I'm Tim. We're out on Sports Saturday.